changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
We're going to talk today about the power of slow. And I see the meditating sloth. I used to have when I was in Boy Scouts, there was a man, his name was Dave Durham. You know, sometimes there are people you just remember your entire life. And he was goofy. He was a scoutmaster. And goofy is the only way to describe him. But he would always say this thing. He would always say, anytime you get a chance, hurry up. Anytime you get a chance, hurry up. And I noticed that so many of us live in that kind of a mode. We're already behind, and yet we feel like we've got to move faster. I was listening to the song Wait For It specifically this morning for this interview. The song is from Hamilton. If you haven't listened to it, Leslie Odom Jr. sings it. And there's a line in there that says, I am not behind or running late. And yet that's what most of us and how most of us live our lives. So if you're interested in accomplishing more while feeling less stressed, that is what our guest, Christine Holbaum, is going to teach us. Christine, good to see you. Let me get this sloth off your head. Hold on.
Thank you so much. Can you hear me all right?
I hear you just fine. Yes. In fact, it's a little loud on my side, but I don't think that's your fault. So let me hold up your book one more time. If I can get it in front of the camera. I'm not used to doing this. Here we go. I'm just going to cover my face up. The power of slow. 101 ways to save time in our 24/7 world. Now, you stayed in here, and I thought this was an interesting concept, that time management is a myth. Would you speak to that, please?
Absolutely. So really, the power of slow is about our relationship with time, which is a construct. It's an organizing principle to help us design our lives. And it is actually sort of a made up idea. There really is no such thing as time. So it's therefore you can't actually manage time. But what you can do is manage the energy within these units of time that we have, you know, called our lives. So we all are born with a personal bank account of time. And for most of us, we don't know how many units there are in it. So it's really about managing your energy versus the time.
You talk about, and this is something I struggle with, feeling overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And why do you think that so many of us feel overwhelmed? And do you think this is a modern phenomenon?
I do believe because of the technological advances that we have, mm-hmm. we have access to so much more than we used to. So that means that we have many more choices, which leads to overwhelm. All you have to do, the classic example of going into the cereal aisle at any grocery store, mm-hmm. you have 75 different choices. So that leads to overwhelm. And so what it's about really with the power of slow is to reduce that overwhelm by focusing on what's truly important to you.
How do we do that?
well, I could tell you how I came about this. I was actually interviewing Marianne Williamson for mm-hmm. the books that she co-wrote with Deepak Chopra and Debbie Ford. It was called The Shadow Effect. And I talked to her about how she starts her day, because, you know, as you start your day, just as you do with the jump start, the way you start your day informs how it unfolds. Mm-hmm. And she said to start your day every morning with some kind of prayer or meditative reflection. And so I developed this mantra for myself, which is about embracing this day and all the positive possibilities that it brings. And so it is, and so it shall be. And I go into the receiving of love, light, and creativity such that I may meet my ultimate purpose with ease and grace. And that's my mantra. And that's how I enjoy and enter my day. And that helps me focus. It's really helpful.
I can imagine it would be. I was thinking about, I was on a ride at Universal Studios and it was Back to the Future. And I thought it was really cute because at the end, one of the characters says, quick, get off before you run into yourself getting on the ride. And I feel like that's kind of how we live our lives. And it's like, we feel like if we can just speed up enough and get enough done, then somehow everything will be taken care of and then we can relax. But your premise seems to be that's the exact opposite. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I have this mantra as well that slow is faster and fast is merely exhausting. Perfect example that I like to use is the missing keys syndrome. You know, when you're in a rush and you're just about to go out the door and you can't find your keys. And that to me is always a sign that I'm not embracing the power of slow, that I'm being more distracted and having this sense of urgency. And then I have to stop and ask myself, what am I rushing toward actually? What is it that I'm trying to do? And when I take that moment to reflect, I find my keys immediately and I know I can go out the door. And if I had invested in the front end of just always putting my keys where I'm supposed to, then I would have saved time on the back end. So that's really what it's about. So if you go in a more mindful way throughout life, you end up making more informed choices that serve you better and serve this ultimate purpose that I like to talk about.
So I get it. You're talking, if I understand it, about this is what your concept of time abundance. Is that right? Being mindful in the present so you don't have to be redundant in the future, almost going to look for stuff. Is that right?
Beautifully said. Beautifully said. Time abundance really is a mindset, just like complaint-free living is a mindset. Mm-hmm. And you have certain structures and certain tools to help remind you of what you want to embrace in this world. And time abundance is really looking at your relationship with time and seeing how you engage with it. Are you engaging in clock combat, always working against the clock, or are you embracing time as like a friend, something that's a resource that brings you joy? And if you can be in the present moment through things like mantras or mindfulness tools like the complaint-free living wonderful band that you have, the bracelets, this helps put us in present time, which is ultimately all we have.
Well, talk about, you do in the book, but I would like for you to share, please, with everybody. You talk about multitasking and how there is no such thing. Speak to that, would you please?
Sure. That was actually the beginning of my journey of the power of slow when I recognized that I was trying to do multiple things at one time. And the truth is that according to neuroscience, your brain can only focus on two cognitively challenging things at a time. So that means that if you're trying to answer an email and talk on the phone, you can't do both. So what you're really doing in your brain is task switching. So you're going from one thing to the next thing, like a little bunny going through a cabbage patch, bouncing from one thing to the next. And that is extremely tiring. It's extremely tiring mentally and emotionally. It can be very challenging. So that's why you end up being more exhausted when you're trying to go fast. You're trying to do what people call multitasking, which actually isn't what you're doing. So you can fold laundry and talk on the phone because those are two not equally cognitively challenging tasks, but you can't talk on the phone and send an email at the same time. Oh, you can't do it well.
You know, and I know my daughter is able to, she proofs my videos. She watches my videos and she says she's able to do that while she's answering emails and everything. And I've always wondered, I couldn't do that. I could not do that. Maybe because she's 25 years old. I don't know.
The ability to task switch quickly is much higher until about 27. Then your brain starts to sort of shift into like a slower mode.
Thank you. Well, that's actually a good thing, though. And as you, from your premise, but so in other words, she is task switching. She is just doing it more efficiently because her brain is younger.
Right. That's true.
Fascinating.
It's really about the executive function, like what your brain is able to do back and forth. And they often say that women's brains are designed slightly differently. They have these, you know, a closer connection, like it's right. Like a faster, like many more highways going between these two places, which is why it's said that women can multitask and men can't. But that actually isn't what's happening. What's happening is we're going back and forth from one thing to the next, like toggling from one window to the next on the computer, for example.
Just more effectively. Whereas a guy goes, what the heck was I doing? I must ask myself that 10 times a day. I'm working now to keep only the program I'm working on open on my computer, closing all tabs, et cetera. You talked about channeling email, about getting overwhelmed by email in your book, and about directing it all to could you explain it if you don't mind?
About how to handle email?
Yeah, so that you don't get that feeling of overwhelmment, et cetera.
Well, I can share what I do, which is very, very effective. So when I'm working on something, such as I do translations sometimes from German to English, because I live in Germany and I work for lots of different German companies, and it's a highly cognitive function, like it's a highly cognitive task to do. So I turn off my email notifications completely. Like I don't even, you know, because you see that little notification kind of going and I'm like, oh, I've got to get that. So you're jumping from one client to the next. It's very, very inefficient. You end up making a lot of mistakes. What I also do is I have several different, this sounds a little counterintuitive, but it actually helps me a lot. I have multiple email addresses on one Microsoft Outlook. So my Gmail account, for example, is all about newsletters and, you know, ordering things online. Then I have my PR clients in another email, and then I have another one just for translations. So that helps me, instead of going through all of these miscellaneous emails that aren't associated with one another, I can do it by accounts, and that helps tremendously.
Awesome. One of the things I've noticed too is I really love that idea and about using... It's amazing what a time suck email is.
Yes.
It really, really is. And I really don't need to know that I have another 20% off at Bed Bath & Beyond all the time. And so one of the things that I do is I am assiduous about killing off my emails. If I buy something and accidentally forget to click, don't send me deals, etc., first one I get, it's gone. And I know a lot of people who really struggle with that, overwhelmed, and that they don't want to open their emails. They don't use that tool as much as they would because they're so anxious, because it's like, well, I haven't looked at this one. I haven't looked at that one. So
yes, it gives you a sense of anxiety. Absolutely. I went on a sabbatical. I was planning to go for 5 weeks, but COVID kind of got in between. So I wasn't able to go for very long. But the good news was I went through all of my newsletters. And I unsubscribed everything. I mean, everything. And now, as a result, I get a lot more, like a lot less email in general, because I'm not on these mailing lists that then they share with somebody else, even though they say they don't. But it's like you end up getting all these emails. So that has reduced a lot since I did that. And that was in December. So it was very sustainable to do. You just go through once. And also what email, my system allows you to go by name, for example. So if you've got all the, like this thread of emails, you take it all and then you can archive it somewhere, because I like to have my inbox completely empty. And so I archive most of the messages unless they're pending. So I keep my pendings in the inbox.
Isn't that a great feeling? Yeah, it's pending and it shouldn't be in there too long either. That's the other thing. I try and get it because you can always go back and search for it. Well, we can talk about email all day. I'd like to invite a number of people have made comments, which is great. If anyone has a specific question that I'd like for you to, this is your opportunity to ask Christine Holbaum, the author of The Power of Slow, who is with us today from her home in, what city are you in, Germany?
I'm in Freiburg, Germany.
Freiburg.
There's Switzerland and France. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Very, very, very cool. So if you've got a question for Christine, please share it with us and I will throw it up there. Somebody said I multitask like a man. I think that's kind of funny. I noticed, speaking of which, myself anyway, I went to see Brendan Burchard speak, and he was talking about becoming more effective in what we do in our lives. And he talked about, because I'm an Apple guy, I'm talking on a MacBook, you know, I'm an Apple guy. Anyway, he talks about going in, and if you drag your little notifications over on your, they don't make it easy on a Mac, on an iMac or a MacBook, you drag it over and then you literally cannot turn off your notifications, but you can silence them all except for 1 hour. So my notifications all pop up silently at 3 o'clock in the morning. But other than that, I don't get interrupted, because he said that because of this idea, there's no such thing as multitasking. He may have gotten it from you. But he says that every time you switch from one thing to another thing, you lose 35% of your productivity.
That's a very good point. That's what ends up happening is you, when you're going from one task to the next, which is why as we get older, it's even more difficult. We have to rev down the executive lobe, then rev back up to the other thing. So we're doing this all day. Like you can imagine elevators going up and down like that. And it takes a lot of energy and you end up losing a lot of time, because you're having to switch from one thing to the next and you're trying to remember what was I supposed to be doing now. And you end up being very fragmented, which leads to the overwhelm that we were talking about at the beginning of this conversation.
Earl Nightingale, my great mentor, used to tell a story about a man who was a business consultant and went to see a company and said, we can help you do more, get more done, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the guy said, look, we know what we need to do. The problem is getting ourselves to do it. And he said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you one piece of advice and then you pay me what it's worth. And this was like in the 1940s. Anyway, he said, write down the number one thing you have to do. He said, then do that and only that until that is done. And the man, they sent him a check for $50,000 because the entire company began to focus on, no, we don't even talk about step number two until step number one is done.
That's wonderful. So focusing on one thing at a time, that's one of the principles of the power of slow. There are 10 of them all together, one of which is focus, and looking at that and saying, this is what I need to focus on first. This is my top priority. Mm-hmm. And also, you were sort of alluding to the idea of procrastination, like that we put off those things that are really hard or we don't want to do, which is a fear-based response because yes. We think we're not going to get it done perfectly, or we think we're not going to get it done, you know, in the correct amount of time. And so we just push it off and we carry the burden of that, which adds to our overwhelm, which adds to our stress. So what I like to say is, and I've told my children this too when they struggled with it, is just do the thing for 5 minutes. And if you feel like after 5 minutes, you really just can't, then stop. And 99% of the time, they end up forgetting time altogether.
Right.
Done, because they've started. The procrastination part is getting your foot in and getting like a jump start, right? Getting right. into it. So that's a really helpful tool to just get that thing. Just do it for 5 minutes. Promise yourself and reward yourself afterwards too. That's key.
Great advice. Ed Wilmot says, spending too much time focused on the next hour, day, or week makes time pass faster and faster. Do you talk about staying present? He asks.
Yes. That's one of the things about being reflective, like having some kind of contemplative practice helps you really become present to this moment. I agree with you. And I think I think that the fact that we're now in sort of this quarantine isolation and very different life rhythm than what we were used to when I wrote this book 10 years ago, we tend to feel like time is just kind of like slipping away. We have no sense of time at all, which is also not necessarily, I mean, to be in flow is wonderful, you know, but it's also it can be very disorienting because we say, where did the time go? And it's going faster, faster, like Ed says. So having a structure in your life is really important. Like you do every morning at 8 a.m. You offer people, you provide them a structure that they get to look forward to so they can start, you know, really have a great start of their day. And then having certain rituals that you do, like you were saying, you took a bath. That to me is like replacing my sauna. Cause I used to go to the sauna all the time. So I just replaced it with something else, and it's wonderful. It's a great way to celebrate life and to be in that present moment.
Awesome. We've got a number of questions here.
Oh,
Brittany says, wow, Deutschland. Yeah. I was curious about the book you said inspired you, The Shadows or something. What was the name of the book?
The Shadow Effect.
The Shadow Effect. That's right. Effect. Marianne Williamson, Debbie Ford, and Deepak Chopra, you said.
Yep.
Awesome. Yep. Karen says, how do you switch from focusing on time to paying attention to your energy, tracking it, et cetera?
So what I like to do is I know myself, like I know that when I have to do something cognitive, like in terms of translations or have to do something, I know that my peak time is from 7 in the morning until about 11:30, 12. I'm a freelancer, so therefore I'm able to sort of have more control over my time. But I also suggest if you're, you know, working in an office environment, if you have a certain peak time where you need to get something done that's really mentally challenging, then do it at the time where you're at your best. Some people it's 5 p.m. That's like my bewitching hour. I'm like done at that point. But for me, it's the morning. And then you tap into where your energy is. Like how much energy do you have to dedicate to this? It's sort of an intuitive process. So for yourself, you'll know, okay, today as a Tuesday, I have 5 meetings. I know I'm not going to be able to get that thing done today. So I'll do it on the Wednesday. So that's where that's where the energy management part comes in.
Got it. Cool. And I, um, this idea, and I really like this, and this I would recommend the book on this alone. By the way, the fact that this book is 10 years old, it's applicable today, if not more so than it was then. And my book, A Complaint-Free World, is 11 years old. So wisdom is wisdom, and I'm talking about her, not me. I've got a question here from Jerry. She says, my biggest frustration lately is guilting myself on my days off into staying home and working through a list of chores. I want so badly to just get away for a day, but I am constantly going through a list of things I need to do and stress myself out. Jerry, I totally get that. My mom used to talk about that. So tell us what you would recommend for Jerry, please.
So Jerry, I feel your pain. I understand sometimes you feel like lounging on the couch is just not productive, but I will say that is a part of your overall productivity architecture. Meaning you need to take time out. In my book, I talk about taking mini time out for yourself. There's a Japanese term called ma, which is really the space between things. It's a musical term about the intervals between beats in a music score. And so adding a little bit of ma to your day will actually make you more productive in the end. So if you're spending that time on the couch feeling guilty, that ends up being counterproductive. So allow yourself to know that this is a part of your productivity process, taking a walk into the woods. I mean, I can't tell you how many books I've written by walking in the woods.
Absolutely.
Ideas, and also vacuuming. Those are the two things.
Yeah, Bob Proctor the other day, was listening to, was talking about how you can accomplish more by taking a walk on the beach than you can from 10 years of work sometimes. And I used to have a mentor who talked about solving things with a cup of coffee. When you hit a point of frustration, it's time to go have a cup of coffee until you forget about it. All right, we've only got a few more minutes. Heather says, do you have any suggestions for dealing with uncontrollable interruptions? You can turn off email, but you can't turn people off. Now, before you answer that question, Heather, I want to tell you, I've been turning people off most of my life. What are you talking about? How can we turn people off, please, Christine?
This is a great question, Heather. I love this question. And this comes about like one of the principles of the Power of Slow, which is expectation management. So managing people's expectations of when you're available and when you're not. Now, I know that sounds easier than it is, and I understand that takes some time to really train people to understand you have an open door policy. When your door is open, you're open. Otherwise, you're not. That also means not answering the phone immediately and always being available 24/7. It's about creating healthy boundaries for yourself. And I say this because I wrote this book with two small children. I've worked from home their entire lives. They're now 22 and 20 or and 19. So there were lots of uncontrollable interruptions. And so what I would do is I would involve them in my process of my writing process and say, once I'm done with this, you get to give me a gold star if I've hit 2,000 words today. So involving them, you know? So creating those boundaries for yourself and managing those expectations are really key.
Very, very cool. One of the things that I strive to do is to answer emails only on Dr. Pepper time, 10, 2, and 4. The original Dr. Pepper bottle said 10, 2, and 4 on them. And the other thing is, if I may make a suggestion to everybody, we started using a thing called Once Hub, O-N-C-E-H-U-B. It is a way for people to schedule appointments, phone appointments for you. And there's dozens of these things out there. And we pay next to nothing for it. I think $15 a month. But it's basically a calendar so people can see when I'm available, my assistant's available. And other than that, I'm not available. So you can't call me. All right, we're going to wind up here just real quick. Barbara Jo says, absolute love. You are both sharing great wisdom. It's becoming a lost art. Thank you so much. Bless you. Gloria says, the more I focused on self-love, self-care, the easier it was to focus on what makes me happy. Life is so much better. I heard that. Ed is going to get the last word. Don't dismiss your own wisdom. A lot of time well spent brings us each of us wisdom. The trick is not letting it go to our heads. Well, thank you, Ed. I struggle with that too. All right, everybody. Thank you one more time. The book is called The Power of Slow. It is by Christine Holbaum. And I highly recommend it. You're sitting around, you got nothing to do, or if you've got a lot to do, you need to stop doing it. Read this book because it will help you do more by slowing down. Thanks, everybody. Christine, thanks so much for being with us today. And everybody, look forward to being with you tomorrow. Everybody, make sure you enjoy today. And if you have not already, please click share. Let's get Christine's words out there to everybody else. Just click share. This will automatically pop up on your news feed, I should say. And that way your friends and family can learn the power of slow. Thanks, everybody. Looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. Enjoy today.
No more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing.